something that will help us tonight on how to keep living for Jesus. Now, if there's anybody we can learn this from, I would say it's the Apostle Paul. If there's anybody who knew how to keep it up and keep going for the Lord, it would be Paul. If there's anybody who probably ought to have quit, it'd be Paul, right? If there's anybody that could show us these things, it would be him. But let's look at two verses tonight. 1 Thessalonians 2, let's go down to verses 12 and 13. And we've preached through verse 12 on Sunday mornings, but let's look at this again. He challenged them, verse 12, that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto the kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Now, classic Paul. You could probably almost talk about every phrase in verse 13, right? That is classic Paul. I mean, there's just a lot there that he says in that one sentence. And we'll draw some of it out tonight. I'm going to be simple with you tonight, and we'll get into it more probably later on. But right now, let's just look at this. Paul, again, I think is an amazing example of perseverance. An amazing example of pressing on. An amazing example of resisting the pressures, resisting the obstacles of the adversary, right? The persecutions even that came his way. He knew how to never quit in any situation. He said he knew how to be abound, he knew how to be abased. I mean, when things were great, he kept going. When things were not great, he kept going. And he is such a challenge to us about that. I've noted verse 2 several times, and look at it again, if you will, though. Verse 2, he said, but even after. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about the Philippians jail situation. He said, even after that, even after Paul and Silas were beaten, thrown in jail, he went on to the next city, which was Thessalonica. So he would do this thing over and over again. He would go to a town. He would go to the synagogue, to the Jew first, and he would begin there. Persecution would arise, and he would, you know, put up with it as long as he could, end up getting thrown in jail or thrown out of town. Either way, and what would he do? Go to the next town and do it again. Go to the next town and do it again. He just didn't stop. He just kept serving the Lord and kept living for Jesus. So I want to talk tonight a few minutes about how did he do that and how can we keep living for Jesus as well. I think there's some things that we can say about this. With the adversary against him in every turn, with the adversary against you at every turn, does the devil want you to quit? Has the devil tried to get you to quit? Has the devil ever succeeded at getting you to quit? Here and there, I'd say so, because the Bible tells us not to be weary in well-doing. Well, some of the weariness in well-doing comes from the adversary himself. A lot, you know, we might call it burnout. We say, oh, I'm burnt out. I've just been doing too much at church or whatever. And sometimes I think that's one of the things the devil will put on somebody's mind, and he'll just say, hey, back off and quit. Stop witnessing to those people on the job and whatever it is. He'll try to say, stop it. Just stop it. You need to cool out. You need to rest. You need to go to another church. You know, I mean, he's constantly trying to get us to quit on the Lord. So Paul certainly knew what that was all about. Well, let me give you three thoughts tonight about this on how to keep living for Jesus. All right. Number one, let me say this. Number one, trust in the right person. Trust in the right person. Well, I know that Paul did. Now, he tells us there to walk worthy of God. Okay, walk worthy of God. I pointed out Sunday that he used the phrase the gospel of God about three times in this chapter. So he said, I want you to walk worthy of God now that you've received the gospel of God. Now, our nation says in God we trust.
Now, you know, we're living in a time now where they'll say, well, just kind of, you know, put whatever God you want to in there. Well, I got news for you. Our founders, in God we trust, they were talking about the God of the Bible. They were talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, right? So he talked about the gospel of God. Paul also talked about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know that they're one and the same, right? He trusted in the right person. Now, you remember what Jesus said in John 14? Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in who? Me. Now, why is that important? Why would Jesus even make a point of you believe in God, believe also in me? Because all the Jews believed in God. Paul believed in God. They believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? There was no problem there. You know where the problem comes in at? When Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. He's saying we're one and the same. But you know where Judaism failed? To believe also in Jesus. They rejected him as the Messiah. Whereas Paul received him and preached him as the Messiah. Makes all the difference in the world. Do you trust in the right person? Well, Paul did. That's why Paul was persecuted there in the book of Acts. Because Judaism said no to Jesus, and he was proving to them out of the Old Testament, but wait a minute, he's the Messiah you've been waiting on. He's the one who said, you believe in God, believe also in me. So Paul trusted in the right person. Hey, they had the right God, but whenever it came to the Son of God, that's where they backed off. And that's where they got into trouble. A lot of them did believe, thankfully. But tonight, do you know that you believe in the right person, the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, a lot of folks, I'm telling you, they're religious, they're in false cults, they're as sincere as the day is long, but they're sincerely wrong because they're trusting in the wrong person, right? You watch all these false cults. You know what? They're doing the same thing. Well, it's the gospel of God. It's all about God. Jesus, no. They reject Christ. They reject Jesus as, they reject the Trinity. They reject the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. John taught us, hey, find out what they say about Jesus so you understand. So if you're following like Paul did, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know he did, we know that he met the Lord on the road to Damascus and he began to follow Jesus, right? So whenever he used the term the gospel of God, we know he's also talking about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have no doubt about that at all, but Judaism had failed on that point right there. So Paul himself at one time resisted Christ, worked against Christ, persecuted those who believed in Christ. But I tell you what, once he met him on the Damascus Road, he had an encounter with Jesus that he never got over. Amen? He had an encounter with Jesus that he never could forget. He had an encounter with Jesus he couldn't stop talking about. I mean, you know it. As we go through the book of Acts, I mean, anybody, anywhere that would listen, he would tell them his conversion story about when he met Jesus. He would tell them about being a Pharisee and how he served God, but then he'd get real specific and tell them about when he learned Jesus and met Jesus, right? Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is God. You got to know you're trusting in the right person. And Paul knew that he trusted the right person, and that made all the difference in his ministry. It kept him going. Because Jesus went up Calvary's hill, and he went to that cross, and he died on that cross, and he said, it is finished. But he resurrected 3 days later, went back into heaven, and he's praying for us that we don't quit. So Paul could keep living for Jesus because Jesus kept living, right? And he's living today, and he's interceding for us. And if we'll understand we're believing in the right person, the resurrected Savior, who's alive and well and can hear your prayer and help you tonight, it'll keep you going, right? It'll make all the difference in the world. If you believe in the right person, it'll keep you going. Even like this, in hostile situations such as Paul faced. Now, what did Paul say to Timothy? He said this, for the which cause I suffer these things. 2 Timothy 1:12, for the which cause I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Why? For I know whom I have believed. That's important. For I know whom I have believed. Who did he believe? He believed in Jesus. Did he believe in God? Yes. Did he believe in Jesus? Yes. Paul said, look, I suffer these things, and I don't quit, and I keep going, for I know whom I have believed, and that he is able to keep those things which I've committed unto him against that day. Paul said, hey, the Lord's not going anywhere. Why am I? Hey, I might get persecuted, and he was getting persecuted. And he went through things that other people would have quit on. But he would not quit. He kept right on going for the Lord. Why? He knew who he believed. He said, I know whom I have believed. He believed in the right person. Aren't you glad tonight that you know the truth of the Bible, the gospel of Jesus Christ tonight? When so many are good, religious, sincere people, but they've been caught up in error. So many of them, you can show them from the Bible that Jesus is the Son of God, and because of some cult they're in, that the devil's got them trapped in error, they'll get mad at you. And they won't believe you. I'm glad tonight that we have believed on the right person. We believed in the gospel of God, but we know that that is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ as well. So he talked here about walking worthy of God. He called you unto the kingdom in glory. Whose kingdom is it? Whose glory is it? It's the Son of God. It's Jesus, right? So we know that we have believed in the right person. So tonight, I think, how are we going to keep living for Jesus? Well, we're going to trust in the right person, the Lord. Let me say this, number two. Stay in the right place. Stay in the right place. Now, what do I mean by that? Paul was always in the right place. Well, I'm going to say two things. The right place is in the presence of God and in the will of God. Does that sound like the right place you want to be? In the presence of God and in the will of God. Paul did both of those things. Paul was always in the presence of God. Why wouldn't he quit? Because, remember Acts 27, that storm's going on, and he said, the angel of God stood by me this night. He was always in the presence of God. He wouldn't quit while he was in the presence of God. If you're in the trust in the right person and you know you're in the right place, so Paul would go to all these towns knowing the Lord was going with him. He followed the Lord. He talked to the Lord. He got direction from the Lord. He listened to the Holy Spirit. He read the Word of the Lord. That kept him in the presence of the Lord. That kept him always in the right place. I believe I'm in the right place tonight. I believe I'm in the right place where I ought to be right now, right here at church. Amen? Right here in Liberty Baptist Church. I'm glad I'm in the right place tonight. I'm glad I'm in the right place as far as the presence of God, as far as day in and day out goes, and that we can follow His Word, and we can talk to Him every day, and we can follow His Spirit, and we can be in church. Those are the means by which we stay in the presence of God. Hey, if you get out of prayer, you get out of church, you get out of the Bible, you get out of tune with the Holy Spirit, you're not going to be very much so in the presence of the Lord, are you? And if you're not in the presence of the Lord, you're not in the right place. What do we say we are? If we get out of the presence of the Lord, we say we're backslidden. And if we're backslidden, we're not in the right place in our Christian life, right? I mean, you know, we sometimes have to ask people, do you think you are where you ought to be with the Lord right now? You ask that question to some people, do you think you're where you ought to be with the Lord right now? A lot of people say, well, I used to be, but no, I'm not right now. You're not in the right place. And you're not very confident if you're not in the right place. Now, first of all, let me say this. If you're not in the right place, it might be because you're lost. Right? And if a person's lost in darkness and in sin and in unbelief, well, they're definitely not in the right place. They're definitely not in the presence of God. But even a Christian can get away from it, not lose his salvation, but lose the presence of the Lord and the fellowship of God in his life, right? Paul was always in the presence of the Lord. He knew where to go. He knew what city to go to next. Why? Because the Lord was directing his steps. The Lord was directing his path. Why did you leave Philippi and go to Thessalonica? It was the will of God. So he was in the right place, which was the presence of the Lord. He also was in the right place, which was the will of God. Now, let me say this. When you're in His presence, it makes it much easier to be in His will. You know His Word. You know His guidance. You know His desires. You know His direction. When you're in the Word, and you're in church, and you're in prayer, and you're with the Spirit, you're doing all those things, and you're in the presence of the Lord, it's a whole lot easier to know the will of the Lord then, isn't it? Well, you know, I don't think it's hard to find the will of God. I don't think it's a big Easter egg hunt where God's trying to hide it from us. I think the Lord wants to direct our steps every day, doesn't He? And if we're in the presence of the Lord, what are we doing? What did Jesus say? Follow me. If we're following the Lord today, guess what? We keep following the Lord. 10 years from now, we'll still be in the will of the Lord. Still be in the will of God, right? If we're following the Lord. So Paul always knew that he was in the right place. He knew the desires and the directions of God. And he had no doubt that when he went to Thessalonica, hey, wait a minute, it went bad. He still had no doubt he was in the will of God. When he went to Philippi and got arrested and beaten, thrown in jail, hey, didn't the Lord come deliver him from that? Why? He was in the will of God. But then he goes to Thessalonica and gets ran out of town after 3 weeks. He still knew he was in the will of God. You know, just because you go through troubles in this world doesn't mean God's not around. God will help you in the storm, but He doesn't always hold back the storm. You can be in the middle of the storm in the will of God. Jesus told His disciples, get in the ship, go to the other side. They ended up in a storm. Oh, the Lord didn't know what He's talking about. He knew exactly what He was talking about. And they were where they ought to be, with the Lord in the will of God. Amen. Paul was in the right place. Why didn't he quit? He was in the right place. He trusted the right person. He was in the right place in the presence of the Lord and in the will of the Lord. That'll keep you going right there, right? When the devil's trying to get you to give up and wants you to be weary and well-doing and trying to get you off track, if you know that you're doing the right thing, it will help you. You know, I think about, you know, our missionaries, you know, oftentimes, that, look, I heard something about some the other day, just leaving family, leaving home. You know, it's not always easy to be in the will of God. That's not the will of God for everybody. But if it's the will of God for somebody, the only thing that keeps them going is to know they're in the right place, which is the will of God. Now, the place may not be the place of their choice. They might say, hey, I'd rather be back home with friends and family and familiarity. But if they're in the place God put them, they're in the will of God. That's the best place to be, right? We ought to say, hey, I'm willing to be in the right place if that's the will of God. Now, he talked about a calling here too. He said in verse 12 that God who hath called you. Well, he knew the call of God. Look, God had called him to salvation. God had called him to surrender. God had called him to separation from this world. God had called him to full surrender, right? Now, service, excuse me. God called him to service. Now, look, has God called you to salvation? Yes. Has God called you to surrender everything to Him? I believe so. Has God called you to serve Him? Yes. Has God called you to separate from this old wicked world? Love not the world. Amen, right? You come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Yes. But we need to answer the call, and then we know we're following the right person. We know we're in the right place. If I'm out there in the world, I'm not in the right place. If I come out of the world and I'm living a life of separation from the world, then I know that I'm in the right place. And when you know you're trusting the right person and you know you're in the right place, it'll keep you on the right track. Amen? Right? How do you keep living for Jesus? It's not easy. No, but I'm trusting the right person, therefore I know I'm in the right place. In the presence of God, in the will of God, and all those things are helping us out. Amen. And let me give you number three, follow the right program. Follow the right program is number three. Well, I'll say two things here. He stayed in the Word and he shared the Word. You know that's God's program for the church and for the Christian. You know what God wants you to do? Stay in the Word and share the Word. I told you recently, the Dead Sea is the Dead Sea because it's got all intake, no outlet. If all you do is take in the Word of God and you never share it, you're going to stagnate your spiritual growth. God wants you to take in the Word daily, but He wants you to share the Word as well, right? We learn it. It transforms our lives, but we also send it out. So Paul did that. Now, Paul said there in verse 13, he said, we thank God always without ceasing because when you receive the Word of God, which you heard of us. Now, let me say this. They couldn't receive the Word unless Paul gave them the Word, right? He had the Word and He shared the Word. They could receive the Word because somebody gave them the Word. You know why you receive the Word, the gospel of God? Somebody shared it with you. Amen, right? You remember when somebody taught you the Word of God? You might remember when it happened. You might remember, well, I just grew up in church. Well, they taught you, right? They shared it with you. Did a Sunday school teacher ever share the Word of God with you? Thank God for them. Amen. He stayed in the Word. Now, I like that last phrase there in verse 13. He's talking about the Word of God, the Word of God, not the Word of men, the Word of God, and the last phrase, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. They're believers. They believe. Now what happens? Well, you according to Jesus in John 15, you abide in the Word. What does it do? It effectually worketh in you. You know what that means? It's effectively working in you all the time. Preacher, should I read my Bible every day? Yeah, why? Because it will effectively work in you all the time. Should I hear it preached? Yes, it will effectively work in you all the time. It will make you efficient in your Christian life. It will make you effective in your Christian service. We can't do this without the Word. So that abiding principle Jesus taught there in John 15. If you ever read Psalm 1, read Psalm 1 sometimes. Meditate therein day and night, and what's verse 3 say? You're going to prosper like a tree planted by the river of water. Would you like to prosper like the tree planted by a river of water? You think a tree planted by the rivers of water does pretty good? He said that's what a Christian is like when they abide in the Word. Meditate therein day and night. Stay in the Word. So he said you received it. You received it as it is, the Word of God, not the Word of man. And it's effectually working in you all the time. I hadn't even gotten to this verse on Sunday morning, so I shouldn't be spending so much time on it right now, right? But we'll hit that again. We need to hit that again, amen, that we need the Bible. We need the Word of God. So he stayed in the Word, but I said he also shared the Word. Did the Apostle Paul ever share the gospel with anybody? Was he a soul winner? Was he a witness? Oh, he was always sharing the Word. He shared the Word when they didn't want him to share the Word. He'd go to the synagogue and they'd say, oh, we got a guest here today. And they'd let a guest get up and speak. Jesus did it. Paul would go to the synagogue in whatever town he went to, and he would get up behind the little lectern. He'd open the Bible to Isaiah, and he'd start showing them Jesus from the Old Testament. Now, that really ain't the sermon they wanted to hear, but that's the one they got that day. Amen. You might have been to church before and got a sermon you didn't really want to hear, but it might have been the one you needed. Amen. Somebody might go to church and hear the gospel and hear that they need to repent of their sin and get saved. They may not like that sermon, but it's one they need, right? Well, whenever he would get up to the synagogue and go to the Old Testament and start showing them that Jesus is the Messiah, which you could do from a lot of all over the Old Testament, right? Oh, they didn't like it, but he was sharing the Word. Paul shared the Word wherever he went. Paul would share the Word in prison cell. Did it a lot of times, didn't he? Paul was always sharing the Word. Now, what am I talking about here? I'm talking about the right program. You know what the Great Commission is? It's the program. Go, tell, baptize, and teach them whatever I said about how to live for me. And I'm talking tonight about how to keep living for Jesus. Matthew 28:18-20. You go out in the world, you tell them the gospel. You get them saved. You bring them in, you baptize them. You set them in a Sunday school class or on a church pew, and you teach them whatsoever I've commanded you. Why do we come to Sunday school every week? Why do we have church three times a week? Why do we have revivals sometimes? To keep teaching. Why? Because we already said the Word works effectively, worketh in us, right? So we're sharing the Word all the time, constantly. Now, I believe this, one of the greatest promises in your Bible. You listening? One of the greatest promises in your Bible is in the Great Commission, where Jesus said, go into all the world. And then he said, lo, I am with you, even unto the end of the world. I think that's a great promise. Now, who's that promise to? He said, lo, pay attention to this. I am with you wherever you go. With who? Whoever will share the Word. That's who he's talking about, right? The program of God is for us to stay in the Word and go out and share the Word. And one of the great promises is, the Lord said, those who do that, I'll be right there with you. I like that promise, amen. Well, I'm nervous to go out and witness, and missionary might say, you know, so God calls them to be a missionary. Well, I'm scared to go. Hey, the Lord said, lo, I am with you right there. Amen. Anytime you go out and witness to somebody, you can say, Lord, you promised you'd be with me, right? Lord, you promise you're going to help me. Amen. Lord, you promise you'll never leave me nor forsake me, but you specifically said, if I go share your word, you're going with me, right? I've done a lot of soul winning by myself, but I guess I've never really been by myself, because the Lord goes with us. Amen. I've knocked on a lot of doors by myself sometimes, just going down the road. Especially in my younger days, I really don't like to do it anymore, the way the world is anymore. Last time I was out door knocking by myself, I was just talking to people through these ring things, and they're recording everything, you know, and boy, it's a scary world out there anymore, you know. I need a visitation partner to do that with, but I'll say this, when you go out, the Lord's with you. Hey, you know, when you get discouraged and you get depressed and you get ready to give up and you get ready to quit, you know what you need to do? Go share the word with somebody. It'll lift you up. Go give a gospel tract to somebody. Go get in a spiritual conversation with somebody about Jesus and about salvation and what He means to you. It'll lift your spirits. You go out and encourage somebody else, and it'll help encourage yourself. You ever done it? Oh, you know, I'm down in the dumps, and I'm just, you know, man, I'm ready to quit. I'm ready to give up. No, you go out and talk to somebody about Jesus. It'll bless your heart right there. Even if they don't get saved, even if they curse you out, you'll go away saying, well, it sure felt good to share the word today. Amen. I'm telling you, I've done it many times. It's a blessing to say, Lord, I try to be a witness for you today. We don't always do it right. But if we try to do it, the Lord blesses that. Amen. Years ago, I'd heard, now Maria and I, when we were first married, somebody said, here's what you do. You need to make friends. Well, Maria had a coworker, a lady she worked with. You know what we decided to do? Well, we invite them over to our little trailer. I would invite them over to our little place, you know, and we'll feed them a meal. We'll get to be friends with them. And then we'll witness to them. Well, we brought them over. We fellowshipped. Maria fixed that good meal. We got that meal. I said, let's go sit in the living room. And then I just started preaching to them, and everything got real awkward. And I don't think I handled it right, to be honest with you. I got you here now. I'm going to preach to you, you know. Well, you know, sometimes in a situation like that, it takes a little bit longer to win them to yourself before you can win them to the Lord, you know. I probably would go back and do it a little different, maybe move into it a little slower, you know. But hey, you know what? Even though it might have got awkward and they may not have liked it, I always wonder. I never forgot it. I hope they never forgot the day that somebody invited them over and told them about Jesus. I don't know what the Lord might have done with that later on. Amen. I'd like to think that God can take our blunders and He can make a blessing out of it. Amen. I know they got the gospel. So I hope the Lord was able to use it some way, somehow. Amen. Hey, you know, just you share the word, though. It'll bless your heart. It'll lift your spirits. You say, I'm ready to quit. Go share the word. Well, first of all, study the word. He said, what did he say? It is the word of God. It's truth. It's not the word of men. It is the word of God. You study the word. You study it. You stay in it. You're ready to quit? Get back in the Bible. Then go out and share it with somebody. That's how Paul kept going. When others would throw in the towel and quit, he'd go tell somebody else about Jesus. It just lifted his spirits. And you know this verse well, Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak in his, any more in his name. Jeremiah said, I quit. I'm not a prophet no more. I don't want to do this anymore. They don't like me. They keep throwing me in dungeons. He said, I'm not doing this stuff anymore. I quit. That's what Jeremiah said. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. He meant I could not stop. He said, whenever I wanted to quit and I wanted to give up, he said, his word was burning in my bones, and I had to go tell somebody else the word of the Lord. How do you keep going? You got to know you believe, you trust the right person. You got to know here that you're in the right place. The presence of God and the will of God. Paul was. And you got to know that you're following the right program, which is to stay in the Word. Now, a lot of people are good at that, by the way. You might be one that studies the Bible every day. But don't forget, you don't only stay in the Word, you share the Word. Or you become the Dead Sea. With all intake, no outlet. Go to work. Go to wherever. Just tell somebody, here's what the preacher preached. I've done that before. You know, hey, what did you go to church yesterday? What did your preacher preach on? I'll tell them what my preacher preached on. You know, I used to do that all the time. And if they didn't go to church, they still got my preacher's sermon. Amen. So you don't have one to tell me about? I'll tell you what I learned at church yesterday. Amen. Hey, and it just blesses your heart. Lifts your spirits. Why? You're staying in the Word. You're sharing the Word. And what's that helping you do? Keep living for Jesus when you'd rather quit, like Jeremiah. And like no doubt Paul wanted to do sometimes. But folks, if we'll just stay, trust the right person, stay in the right place, follow the right program, how do you keep living for Jesus? I think that'll do it right there. Amen? And a lot of you have been doing it for a long time, so I'm probably not telling you anything you don't already know. Amen? I hope it's a good reminder for us tonight. Stay with it. Stay in the Word. You've been called to this thing. It's not the Word of men. It's the Word of God. And it works effectually in you. And may God keep working it in us as we do these things. Would you bow your heads with me tonight, please? How to keep living for Jesus. I hope this will help you. Paul
knew the answers, and Paul did those things. Dear Father, I pray now, Lord, you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, you'd help us, God, as we... Lord, consider this thought, Lord, of how Paul kept going, and that we'll keep going the way we ought to as well. And we'll keep serving you and living for you, Lord. We'll stay in your Word. We'll share your Word. God, I pray you'd help us, Lord Jesus, tonight. And God, just let these be a reminder to these dear faithful saints and church members, Lord, that will help us and encourage us. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now let's. We're going to sing a song before we have our prayer time. How about that?
Amen. All right, if we can go ahead and stand again one last time for tonight. We'll stand again and we'll turn to 550. 550 in your hymnals. Do we need our hymnals? You need your hymnals. 550 in your hymnals. The old-fashioned way. I'll live for Jesus. I'll live for Jesus. We'll sing both verses.
I'll live for Jesus day after day. I'll live for Jesus, let come what may. The Holy Spirit I will obey and live for Jesus day after day. Through every day, new joy I find, He gives to me real peace of mind until the day when Christ I see. I'll live for Jesus who died for me.
Amen. You may be seated.
Amen. I think that's how Paul did it too, right? No matter what comes, let's keep living for Jesus.